I still like this stuff.
So yeah, it's your option.
Okay.
This is taken through a few judges. I can't believe it.
Oh, yeah. I'll still try. I just have to say one more. Very silent today, it's okay. It's all important.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Oh, yeah.
They have to switch boards to do it.
That's true, that makes sense.
You understand that.
Yes.
It's 3:30, October 8th, 2014. We're in the Sierra Room. This is the Regional Transportation Commission. We don't have a lawyer, but we're going to start anyway. The reason we're starting now versus after Campo and starting an hour early is because of scheduling, my scheduling and others' scheduling, and so we figured we would do this. Supervisor Bonkowski is out of town, and so therefore we're having a meeting at 3:30. I'd like to start the meeting off with a roll call.
Chairperson McKenna.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Smolensky.
Here.
Commissioner Bonkowski. Commissioner Kimbrough.
Here.
Commissioner McCrary.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is public comment. Anyone care to make a comment on anything that's not on the agenda or on the agenda if they have to leave? Seeing none, move on to the next item is approval of the minutes of August 13, 2014. Entertain a motion or questions or changes or go ahead.
I move to approve the minutes of the August 13, 2014 meeting.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any comments, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Next item is agenda management notice. Does anyone want anything moved from its spot on the agenda to an earlier spot? Seeing none. Anybody in the public? Next item on the agenda is disclosures. Anyone have any thing that they wish to comment on, explain any contact to the public, that sort of thing? Seeing none. We'll move on to public meeting items. For possible action to recommend to the Board of Supervisors acceptance of the conceptual plan for the refreshed Carson downtown plan for Carson Street between William and Fifth Street. And who wants to do that, Lee or Patrick?
I'll introduce okay. it, and then both of us will be handling the presentation. We're before you today, as the board forum indicated, to provide information to you on the downtown conceptual design and to seek action by this body that will be forwarded on to the Carson City Board of Supervisors for action in November of this year, next month. We have gone out for a lot of other public, we have had multiple public meetings in this room, and we've also had numerous meetings, Lee and I, with multiple different groups that are interested stakeholders in this process. Without further ado, I'll let Lee start the presentation, and then and I'll contribute as well. Okay, thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Lee Clemmel. I'm the Community Development Director. Patrick and I, we've been giving this general presentation to the public in some other forums. We've had an open house where we gave the presentation. We went to the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee on Monday night. We've been giving kind of various versions of this presentation to some downtown property owners and business owners and smaller forums. And for the benefit of the public, we'd like to, you know, give the information to you and to the public in general. This is leading up to your recommendation regarding the downtown Carson Street project, which is a portion of the projects that are coming forward through the sales tax plan of expenditure that has been approved by the Board of Supervisors earlier this year. This is the first element that's to be implemented for the street portions of it. And I want to start off this presentation actually in stealing portions of another presentation. Actually, somebody from Public Works found this online. That was a presentation given at a conference on rural development called Downtown Planning for Smaller and Mid-Sized Communities, and as a presentation on downtown planning by the person who wrote the book on downtown planning for smaller and mid-sized communities is the planning book there, and this is the person that had the presentation. So just for a little bit of context, and some background to start with as to why we're even discussing the downtown and why we have been since 2005 and certainly even before that in redevelopment of our downtown. So downtowns are important to the community, and as I'll note later, that came out as part of a 2004 to 2006 master plan process. Very early on in our outreach to the neighborhoods, the downtown rose to the top of in the mind of the citizens of Carson City, going out to the neighborhoods, not just talking to the downtown folks, is something that the community really relates to, and kind of they have an identity with it. You know, point it's in here, it's owned by the community, it's your postcard location, it's your chamber of commerce image of the community. So downtowns are important to the people, to the residents of a town, whether they live down there or not. Different things kind of cause you to do new downtown planning and come up with a new plan, and there's various examples across the country of different things. Number three up there is transportation changes bypass. Again, as we were doing the master plan, our freeway was under construction. We knew traffic was going to shift. We were looking for what happens to the downtown core as that happens. And I'm just going to kind of hit some highlights of these, not going through the whole presentation. But so some of the reasons for doing downtown planning is, you know, a lot of it is for the benefits to the economy of redeveloping downtowns, generally enhancing the quality of life of the citizens of the community. And as I'll go into on the next slide a little bit, as a marketing tool. So it is a way to sell the community and the design and doing the improvements is just a piece of it. It's not the final step in a process of benefiting the economy of the city. As in that blue section there, you know, we're at the design phase of Carson Street of the downtown area now. There are steps that we need to take as a city in working with the businesses, working with the properties to do that promotion, to turn it into something that provides the economic benefits that we all hope it has in the end as a result of the project. Looking up here, just kind of stealing again from this slide, a little bit in yellow there, it's not a silver bullet. So nobody has said we're just going to build this and we're done and that's all we need to do. Everything will be great. There's more to it than that. It's part of it. Doing the streets is what the city does. It's our role to put the infrastructure in place so that the businesses can do what they need to do. Marketing and promotion is going to be a big step. a big step going forward to make it is as successful as it can be. Just a couple more slides from this presentation real quick, because they pertain to kind of the design discussion that we're going to be having this evening regarding the plan. You know, all the examples and when we talk to the places that have done this elsewhere, they all say provide as much on-street parking as possible. You'll see, you know, we've kind of gone back and forth on that, using Carson Street as a transportation mode and accommodating traffic versus providing parking, and we think we've come up with the balance on that. And again, the presentation just saying locate parking wherever possible. Also on this, just to note, and I think Patrick will go into it, you know, part of it is regulating for turnover and parking regulation. You know, we want to get the concept of the plan in place and how much parking or not should be on the street. Parking management is going to be, once we establish that we have parking where it's located, parking management is certainly going to be a discussion we're going to have with the businesses as the project moves forward. Switching back now to our standard presentation that we've prepared regarding the Carson Street plan. So again, as I alluded to, obviously there's downtown planning work predates 2005, but in 2005 and to an adoption in 2006 of a city master plan, we were in the process of a citywide master plan update. At the time, the freeway was being built. There was an opportunity to do something downtown. As I said, the downtown really rose to the top of the list of public comments citywide as to what they really identified, what the public identified with, and as a result of that, we did this design charrette process that resulted in a vision for Carson Street that I'm sure you've all seen the renderings of in the past. Work has continued based on that master plan and based on the results in the vision for downtown. There's obviously the freeway is being completed. I'm sure you're aware of that. Other things and again with the engineering and traffic planning that this body has been doing over the years since then has always included modeling the traffic to include the two lanes on Carson Street. Other streets have been upgraded to accommodate that same parallel traffic, the Roop Street and Stewart Street improvements that Patrick has been mentioning in the presentation. More recently, we've had more public interest again in the project that resulted in April of this year, the Board of Supervisors adopting the 1/8% sales tax for citywide capital projects that include the downtown project. It includes all improvements to all of the commercial corridors throughout the city. It also includes the multi-purpose athletic center. It includes a new animal shelter, and it includes improvements to this community facility that we're in. So the downtown is just a part of the overall projects that are being funded. The funding that's identified for the Carson Street, and again, when I say downtown, the scope of kind of this project is from Fifth Street to William Street. What's been identified is about the $6.8 million for the road improvements, the travel lanes that fit the stuff we see above ground. It will rebuild the street, so that takes care of, as Public Works terms it, long overdue street improvements and repair. There's also in the budget, it's estimated to be about $2.1 million in underground utility work, primarily water and sewer upgrades, again, as they term it, long overdue. The pipes in Carson Street are over 50 years old. As you know, when Carson City does a road construction program, they take that time to replace any needed water and sewer infrastructure so that they're not building, you don't build a nice new street, then come back 5 years later and rip a trench through it. So the utilities would be upgraded as part of the project. So as I noted, there are
There have been documented economic benefits across the country. I have some examples up here that are taken from a study that was recently done by Economics Planning and Planning Systems out of California for the State Line Nevada Casino Corridor Project. I'm not sure if you were aware that they have a proposed project doing something very similar to what we're proposing here, and that's taking Highway 50 right through the casinos, rerouting most of the traffic, the four lanes that it is around the casino, and going down to two lanes and parking, and really converting that casino corridor street to a similar pedestrian-oriented street. So as part of that, they did an economic study for that. I've spoken with the people that did the economic study and talking about our project. And they don't predict, because every project is unique, so the benefits are unique to the circumstances and the specific community. And they won't even go as far to say, even though they were hired to do the economic study for State Line, that here are the economic benefits you will see and put a number to it. They won't do that. What they can do is go get the numbers from past similar projects. So that's where these are from, and I've presented these to the Board of Supervisors before. But what the projects do, I mean, this is a pretty big investment in infrastructure in the community, so it's not surprising that they decrease vacancy rates for these areas. Retail sales grow in the areas where these occur. The property values increase, and that kind of, there's a ripple effect to that. And also the public investment in these projects often leads to multiples of investment from the private sector. So now getting into the concepts, and I'll try to go through these pretty quick. You've seen them. We have a number of slides, but just for comparison to start with, we're starting with the 2005 concept, where as a result of the design charrettes and public input at that time, and even some traffic modeling at the time I take that back. I think we just came up with the pictures before traffic modeling it. Mm-hmm. But it was two lanes, no turn lanes parking, with the idea of this: make the sidewalks as wide as possible, put as much parking on the street as possible. So that was designed there. There were no turn lanes except at the lighted signal. So this was the 2005 design. As a result of more recent discussions and public input on this, there's been concerns with on-street parking slowing traffic, the ability of people to parallel park, frankly, is how that usually comes up, and how that might slow down traffic. You have complete streets concepts we've been talking about more, and having bike lanes as part of the project. And then finally, and maybe kind of really to many, the most important one is accommodating emergency response with a third lane. This new concept has been developed by staff based on the input we've got so far from the public and going to the Board of Supervisors to provide this three-lane concept where you have a continuous turn lane down the center, to a lane in each direction, bike lanes, and some parking. So you'll notice there are some parking spaces up there. If you look kind of up on the block, they're not in the foreground of this picture, but kind of up mid-block or beyond here, we have a couple parking spaces. Patrick will go into those more, but they provide some parking. Again, they provide the ability to have parking for the businesses there, the appearance of activity downtown, which is part of what you want those for, without creating too many traffic conflicts with parking along the whole block. So again, just in comparison, as a result of the comments, really have kind of provided really more of a compromise of providing more space for vehicle maneuvering and bicycles, while still providing a pretty adequate pedestrian space, which, getting into the details, and just a couple of visuals here that have been prepared. These are just some tweaks to our 2005 model to adjust it to this new alignment, and you could put some to show kind of the amenities that you can have on the sidewalks. getting into the detail of what you can have on a 20-foot sidewalk. So with this concept where you don't have parking spaces, you have the ability to have a 20-foot sidewalk, 20-foot wide sidewalk, where you can see how these zones, so how much the kind of amenities. You can have space next to the businesses that may have tables, may be placed for merchandise or sandwich board signs, the pedestrian space, and then you still have room for the trees, benches, and tables and other amenities that you might want to have on the sidewalk in front of your business. Where there is parking, the sidewalk's 12 feet, which still provides some space both for pedestrians and some amenities. For comparison there, I'm toggling to the next slide. If you watch into the where the parking space is, you know, even in this scenario where you have parking, it may be that during the summer months, the business there is the type that might benefit from some outdoor dining or other use that's outside, and you can put a temporary park, what's called a parklet there, to add some pedestrian space. You add some, and you just eliminate the parking space, and so you have pedestrian. And we've seen this this being done all over the place, even in some of the recent literature we get. There's more examples and pictures of where places are doing this. So that's an overview of the concept that we're bringing forward. And so I'd like to turn it over to Patrick now to talk about the traffic.
All right, thank you, Lee. I'll start the traffic section by addressing the graph that we have up here. It shows the vehicle trips per day, average weekday, on Carson Street. There are multiple traffic counting locations that have data collected every year by MDOT. It's a great service we get from MDOT. And this is one of those locations. It's near Ann Street. And it has data going back to 1972. And what you can see is that the traffic volumes peaked out at the right about the turn of the century here, about 2000, 2002, at about 40,000 trips per day. At that time, we had a lot of through trips. The freeway wasn't open yet. We had a lot of trucks. And as you can see, there's been a substantial decrease in traffic since that time. Right now, we've lost more than half of that previous traffic. We're down to about 17,000 vehicles per day, which is actually lower than 1972 levels. we did highlight for illustration purposes when different portions of the freeway have opened so far. I-580 opened to US 50 Williams Street in 2005, and in 2009, 5 years ago last month, it opened to Fairview. We did have significant declines on multiple north-south streets. Roop and Stewart and Solomon and Fairview all experienced decreases as well. But as you can see, there was a precipitous decline on Carson Street downtown, and that decline has continued. Just the last year, we lost another 7% of trips compared to the year before, and that is confirmed at other locations as well. And we can tell you that traffic volumes are continuing to decline and are expected to decline further. They will indeed decline again once the freeway opens, but the biggest declines have already happened. They've already occurred. so while we'll lose several thousand more cars, we are already at a traffic volume that is well within the thresholds of being able to implement a project like this. As Lee mentioned, we have done simulation and forecasting for base years and into the future. We've now done it on several occasions. We actually started, the first time we did it was in 2007, actually using the 2005 design originally. And at the time, we said that it could be done in the future after certain things occurred, including a drop in traffic and the implementation of other improvements to the roadway network in the city, many of which have been accomplished through the work of this body, including investment in Roof Street, North Stewart Street, further investment in Curry Street. Those things, along with the extension of the freeway, and other factors have resulted in a decrease that has now made this the implementation of this project possible. The expected diversion of traffic that would happen primarily would go to Stewart Street, which certainly has the capacity and is more useful today than it was in the past because it is connected on the north end. And there will be diversions to some other streets that we think will be It would be relatively minimal. An example, one road that some people like to point out is Division Street, which is on the near west side, which does indeed carry today more traffic than its neighboring smaller streets, which is true. It is expected to go up by about 10% with the implementation of this project, but I'd like to point out that in the last about 5 years, traffic decreased on that road by about 20%. So the increase expected with this would actually not get it back to previously experienced levels, and we're very confident of the road's ability to carry that amount of traffic as it has in the past. Discussing traffic safety, this is something that's it's a proven national example of a success story. It's been implemented across the country and has documented safety results. There are multiple ways it helps safety. It facilitates the movement of all modes of traffic, pedestrians, bicycles, cars as well. One thing in particular that would make a difference on is that there would only be one lane in each direction instead of two, so you don't have that situation where a person trying to cross the street has the first vehicle stop and the second one doesn't. Just on Monday, I was crossing Carson Street. I experienced that myself. I had to look out for that second lane of cars. But that's certainly an issue that we have. And indeed, the traffic is expected to be slower, and it will also be buffered from the sidewalks. You'll actually have a bike lane between where people are walking or having outdoor dining or like, and where the cars are traveling. Lee already touched on this, so I'll be brief, but the parking control and loading, the point of that is that we do have to have, after the conceptual design is considered, we have to have further conversations primarily with business owners regarding what traffic, what the enforcement would be like for the parking. Do we want to continue with the two-hour enforcement, or do we want to have a different option there? And additionally, as far as loading goes, that's also an item to be discussed with the businesses as far as what loading zones are needed. Those parking areas are very flexible. As Lee pointed out, they can be used for parklets or seasonal outdoor dining. They also could be used for a loading zone. So those are things to be discussed further. Now, I'm going to do something I usually don't do, but I'm going to back up and go back to a slide that Lee has that I think is very useful, the one that shows 2005 versus 2014. The reason why I back that up is that while we did start our travel demand forecasting, the traffic simulation, back with the original plan in 2005, multiple changes were made to that design, which actually further assist the flow of traffic. As you can see here, we have a continuous left turn lane throughout the length of the project, which means that you're not going to be able to, not only can you turn left at signalized intersections, you can turn left at all intersections. And additionally, we do have the bike lanes, which also provide a buffer between the parked cars and the other cars. And while we do have parking, of course, as Lee mentioned, it is reduced. So it's not the full length of it. You're not going to have that experience of a lot of difficult parallel parking that some folks were concerned with. Those parking areas are designed similarly to bus pullouts, not the same length, but as far as those angles to get in, trying to make it very easy for someone to pull in with a car there. The spaces are over 22 feet long. So we believe that we've designed something that will assist in the continuation of the flow of traffic here, even though it will be reduced. I'll also note that currently when you cross the street, it's about 65 feet at the crosswalks. It would only be about 40 feet under this. So there's a much shorter distance there that would allow us to adjust the signal timing because you don't have to account for as much time for pedestrians to walk across the street. A couple other points. I'll go back to where I was supposed to be. We are bringing it here to RTC for action, but I will note that RTC street maintenance funds, which have been recently discussed at this body, or are lack thereof of funds that are insufficient to properly maintain our streets, are not planned to be used during this project. The street is in need of work. By completing this project using other funds, that will actually relieve RTC from the need to pay for those street maintenance costs. So it's actually a positive for the Carson City RTC. Let's see, I'll just go on the next one. Just mentioned emergency services here. With that third lane gone, or excuse me, with the median gone and that third lane down the middle, we now have, as you can see, trees on the outside instead of down the middle, but they're not here, but the fire department and sheriff's office have both indicated that they're very comfortable with this plan and their ability to respond to emergencies as necessary with this concept. And finally, the bike traffic. This plan does include bike lanes, which is, of course, beneficial for bicycles. And I will mention that we have a representative from Muscle Power here today. As we mentioned previously, Lee and I have been to many groups. One of them was Muscle Power. They actually did take formal action to, and she can correct me later, but basically to recommend this plan as well for moving forward through the process. But while it's good for bicycles, it's good for motorists as well. Those bike lanes, if you're driving down the road making a right turn, you're buffered away from the sidewalk. You've got a better ability to make a right turn. It helps you with your sight distances. It helps us, the city, in dealing with the snow. We have to deal with snow now. We'll have to deal with snow then, too. And that'll give us some more room to maneuver there. And as I mentioned, we buffer from parked cars. And, you know, finally, I'll just leave it. It's from a traffic standpoint, we've discussed these projects. I've experienced a couple in my career previously. And we've worked with, you know, planners and engineers and public works officials, and these have been successful in many locations across the country, and as I mentioned at the beginning, this is well within the threshold of being able to implement this. Oh, sure, absolutely. Okay, what we have up here is a timeline for the downtown streetscape project, as it indicates. Across the top, we show the end of last 6 months of 2014, all of 2015 and 2016, and then in the middle we have a blow up of the current 6 month period that we're in there. So, focusing on that timeline in the middle of this slide, we of course refined the design concepts. We held public open houses at two of them on September 16th, along with all those other meetings we've been holding at request. We're now in the middle of that timeline there in October, where it says advisory board review. As we indicated, we were at the RAC meeting, the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee, on Monday. Here we are today, right there on that. And as we've indicated, in November, we expect to take this to the Carson City Board of Supervisors for approval of the conceptual design. After that time, we would proceed into to further levels of design. As I mentioned, you know, we haven't determined things like exactly what the parking enforcement would be. And there are a lot of details to be addressed yet. I mean, everything from benches to species of trees and many more I won't mention. But there is definitely more work to be done. The final design would take place during 2015, as you can see on that top frame up there. And then we'd be moving into construction in 2016, which is intentional because that's not a year for the legislature to be in session. And finally, I want to mention, as it points out on the bottom there, we have a mention of Curry Street. Curry Street hasn't been forgotten in this. We actually did go to the Carson City Board of Supervisors and specifically address which street would be done first, because we're certainly not going to do Carson and Curry simultaneously. And indeed, the decision was made to go forward with Carson Street first and to follow up with Curry Street. And Lee, you can tell me if I missed anything, but otherwise we'll move on to, we do have a lot of materials out there. I want to make sure, I think we have the frequently asked questions out at the door, correct? We actually have an expanded list of frequently asked questions compared to what we had at our public meetings, because we have gotten a few others that are there. They're also available on this website. General comments can go to planning@carson.org, and additionally we've put up the email addresses of Lee Plemmel, myself, and Darren Schultz, the Public Works Director. We're all happy to answer questions and from the public or anyone interested.
I'll note while those are up there that for any members of the public watching that go to completestreets.com, there is a contact us link there that lets you type in your comments and send an email that goes to the planning. So you can also send them directly to either the transportation office or the planning office, or even, I imagine, if you give it to City Hall, they'll make sure. Some have gone to City Hall. They make sure they get to us. We're taking the public comments to bring to the Board of Supervisors at their meeting in November when we present the concept for their review and approval.
Ready? Yep, we'll take whatever questions you have.
Okay, before we start, define the RTC's role in the go-no-go decision. The details of the project approved or built, for example, will we be responsible for materials, or we don't like the colors, or do we have just, are we just public opinion? And if built, what happens in the future? What does this group, the Regional Transportation Commission, what does it do if this thing were built? What's its responsibility for that area in the future? In other words, why are we here? Why are you talking to us? And what's our liability?
Well, I'll start because I did intend to, in the presentation and at some point, say that this isn't the final checkpoint for RTC or the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee or the public in general. Really want to kind of stress that we're, while those pictures look really nice, they're actually just done in Google SketchUp. They're not construction detail. They're not actual materials. They're a really quick view of what the lane alignment configuration could look like through downtown Carson Street. So at this point, we're just trying to get feedback on that concept, the lane configuration, parking, bike lanes, et cetera, to be able to go to the Board of Supervisors in November, and if we get conceptual approval at that time, then we get into the more detailed planning of what color are the bricks, where, how many bricks, et cetera, and work and go back out to the advisory boards and have public opportunities to view and make comment on those plans as they're developed through the year. And in fact, I even heard, I think, Danny Rotter saying that it would be not till the December 2015, if things stay on schedule, that those final design would be done, and you have 30% and then 60%. So there's checkpoints along the way where things would be coming back to RTC and chances for additional public input. And I think this question about the RTC's role is something that RAC struggled with on Monday a little bit, and I think we'll try to get some clarification at the board meeting as well as to what is going to be expected from those bodies beyond just being, you know, I think at a minimum they were intended to provide a public forum for information and comment so that we can get that public comment to incorporate in plans as necessary and then bring it to the board for at certain checkpoints.
Okay, there's a decision request on here on the agenda, and so is it just public comment? The members of the commission just making public comment today? Are we binding somebody with this decision? That sort of thing. That's why.
We would like a formal recommendation from the RTC as to this concept moving forward to the Board of Supervisors. Either we're in agreement with it, or we're not in agreement with it, or we're neutral, or we're in agreement with it if you do this or that. That's what we're looking for here tonight. And then to answer the question about what you talked about in the future, once we get through this process and that everything is built out there, RTC's role in this part of town, the way we have it in our minds right now is we will, RTC will still be the authority over the street section through downtown Carson. Outside of back of curb, the idea is we're going to try and form districts as far as the maintenance and the oversight of that area. But the black asphalt would still fall under the authority of RTC.
Okay, everybody understand? Who wants to go first? Go ahead.
I just have a couple of questions that I wrote down. In talking about Carson Street, complete rebuild, is that digging out all the asphalt that's in there right now, or the pavement, and is that that cost is in the figures that we saw up there?
Yeah, what we're going to try and do, there's sections of Carson Street, because it was a state highway, there's a section of Carson Street that the asphalt is literally 18 inches thick right now. So until we get out there and design it and do borings, there's a possibility that some of that asphalt, we could leave some of the base, the deeper stuff down in there, grind off the top. So I can't go on the record right now and say that everything from curb to curb is going to be removed and we're going to start over, because I don't, until we do investigation. It would be our hope that possibly some of that base work where we're not doing utility work underneath it could be saved, and we could just put 2 inches of asphalt on the top of it and that section, leave that section alone. But we don't know yet.
The other one, in the initial presentation, Lee, you were talking on some bullet points based on other communities that have done this type of situation. And I noticed one of the bullet points was to avoid one-way streets. And I see on in our packet your timeline, and I believe it's somewhere in the year 2017. You did not want to do Carson Street and Curry Street at the same time. Has that been addressed to eliminate, if there is going to be some improvements to Curry Street, is the one-way situation on Curry going to be eliminated?
Let me talk first maybe generally before getting into the one-way streets and how that might be evaluated downtown. You know, again, I pulled those slides off of somebody else's presentation, so not knowing the context, I assume, you know, there are places in their downtown that have sit, for example, made, if using ours as an example, make Carson Street one way to the south, Stewart Street one way to the north, and that's their solution for down. And so I think it refers to that. We do have some side streets that are one way and provide parking. But I don't think that's the context in which that was being said. And the answer then on Curry Street is no. As part of the Curry Improvement Street is going to be much less intensive than the Carson Street design and more connecting the pedestrian environment that we're creating on Carson Street around to the Curry Street side, but not doing a complete realignment and reconstruction of the whole street.
Yeah. And if I just might add, you know, one thing we need to remember about how our downtown has developed, obviously right now there's no parking on Carson Street. And while this concept would provide some parking on Carson Street, it's not a vast amount of parking, and we're certainly aware of that. So something we have to consider as we go forward is that we have a downtown that is built up where we rely on those side streets, many of which are one-way streets and have angled parking on both sides, and Curry Street, which is also one-way and has angled parking and some parallel parking as well, that do provide an important parking resource for downtown in general. And we're not supposing that the limited parking included in this conceptual plan will be replacing all of that.
How has the snow removal on these wider sidewalks been addressed? Has that been discussed? Are the businesses going to have to handle that shoveling of these walks, or is that going to be a city staff duty?
Well, I know what we discussed with RAC on Monday was that currently there are funds to remove them. There are currently funds used for the maintenance, but we have identified additional maintenance costs with the with the implementations process. That's what we discussed with that business improvement district. But I don't know if that specifically includes the snow removal.
The intent was for the snow removal to be done by the businesses.
My question on the side was, aren't they responsible now for clearing sidewalks? So that answers that question. And it also does, it does add, I would note, a room to store the snow on the sidewalks and create the clear paths. I understand now there's often a fight of pushing the snow back and forth where the business pushes it in the street, the snowplow pushes it back on the sidewalk, and that goes on.
So obviously when the snow's plowed in the street, the way you do it now, most of it's plowed into the gutter. So during a big event, you could probably lose a lot of the parking and the bike lanes at that time, huh?
We also have the ability to move it as well.
So on that note, there will be additional cost for maintenance once this project goes through as far as snow removal potentially?
We looked at it, and we don't anticipate additional cost because the overall footprint is getting smaller. We're not plowing five lanes anymore, so that's less snow to pick up. It's going to be a little bit more tricky as far as plows going in and out of the parking inlets, that sort of thing. But we had our operations specifically look at how they would plow it and determine that it would not be additional as far as snow overall. Back to your question, Andy brings up a really good point on that snow removal in front of businesses. That would be a discussion when we go out and talk to them, whether or not they would want to form that as part of their district to where they pay and then, you know, maybe they hire a contractor to come in and snow remove, or if they would want to handle it individually for their space in front of their property, are they responsible for just that section? We'd have to address that with them. But the bottom line is that it would fall under the business owners, their responsibility.
So they could probably get away with just clearing a 4-foot path, just so they have access for pedestrians at that point instead of the entire walk.
Yeah, we haven't got that far, but those are very good points, and we have to address that. I don't.
A few questions. One, because I didn't hear anything or discussion, but it might be a hot button, but has meters been talked about?
I don't believe that anybody is suggesting that, but we're going to leave it open for now. As far as
put it in the planning part,
yeah. As far as the more, you know, there have been suggestions of having less parking enforcement, but we're going to want to look at both the input of the businesses and also some other practices by similar areas.
In the parking lot that's across from the Nugget, that's the largest one probably along there that faces Carson Street. Is it public? Is it part of the parking scheme here that you know you have 100 spaces or whatever it is to accommodate downtown, or is it part of the deal, or is it just kind of ignored because you don't know what's going to happen?
No, those spaces belong to the Nugget. So the Nugget, certainly in recent years, has been very open to put the signs up and say this is public parking, so they're allowing anybody to use it for downtown. But that parking space and the ones behind the Nugget are part of that development. To an extent, they are mainly used by the Nugget, but they do provide some additional parking. And any future development that they do on that property or any of the other Nugget properties or Adams Foundation properties would have to provide enough parking to accommodate that development on that property.
Okay, so it really isn't in the plan yet that you can say that you have these additional spaces because it could change and it's private and you really can't put that in a plan that the private's going to do anything. But I thought there was discussion one time of a parking garage there or something even. Is that something that was wrong or was that ever talked about?
Well, not in recent years by the city, but structured parking is certainly something that, well, with the city center project, which is, this isn't the city center project, I hate to say that, but that had quite a bit of development. It takes structured parking to get the number of parking spaces you need for the new development. So that could potentially be a solution to new development coming in. And to the parking, There were parking studies done in the past noting that there's not really a lack of parking downtown. There's some, you know, there's not always that spot in front of, on the side streets there, in front of the business at peak hours. But, you know, part of the new plan, and as you could see in the picture here, you know, what this this provides a lot more room than we have here to provide some directional signage to direct the people to where the public parking lots are. In addition to other kind of, you know, you can have these signs here that are both say the street they're on, have some auto-oriented signs saying parking this way, capital that way, and then you can have the pedestrian scale sign as well, but it provides some space to be able to do that.
I had a question on mid-block crossings. I didn't see any of them. You know where the AG's office crosses over to the Capitol is the only mid-block one I could think of. So I assume somewhere in your design you'll have something that comes, because when you put the sidewalks closer to the other side, there's always that potential for people to jaywalk more than walk down the intersection, but because it's more comfortable feeling crossing that zone. But there's a mid-block there at the AG's office, the only one I could think of. But is that part of some of the plans you've been looking at, is how to get a mid-block in some
of
this?
Once again, this is only conceptual level.
Right.
The conceptual level layout, you know, for the most part, preserves the crosswalks that are out there today. There are a couple of suggested changes of maybe, you know, from this side of the intersection to that side of the intersection, you know, one or the other. And we will go further into the design as we go through this process. But in that location, I'll note that over by the Capitol building on the west side of the street, it can look a lot more like this downtown core looks like. On the east side of the street, we are going to have further conversations with the state as far as what will be the nature of the design on the east side of the street by the Capitol legislature.
Let's see here. One thing I was going to say, I've seen that in these smaller cities with three lanes or two lanes, they'll push the snow in the middle, which helps accommodate. Then they haul it out when they have the time and they're done clearing the streets, which accommodates shoving 6 foot of snow on the sidewalks, but which is pretty common in the snow towns, actually. So
we have been known to do that as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that's sometimes an easier solution than shoving it up on the sidewalk after they plow it. So it's like making friends with the businesses. So one of the things I was going to ask as a bike rider is the car door distance on the parking spot so you don't open into the bike lane?
No, admittedly, there are multiple compromises in this conceptual plan, and that's something that we specifically discussed internally and of course, with Muscle Powered as well. We do think that it's the bike lanes are important, but also limited parking is important as well. So indeed, that it is a possibility, but once again, we think we got into a good overall conceptual plan.
Great. Well, those are questions just to get clarity on some of the things you're working on. I've, as Lee knows, I've been in the Planning Commission looking at these things for a long time, but I'm actually excited about this, and I can stand up and say that because I know it's a very emotional issue with some people, but my wife's an artist, and we've done craft shows in California for years, and their downtowns close down sometimes, those sections, and have big, wonderful public events right in the main part of town, and that's where parking gets critical for larger events, which may not be able to happen with this one. But it's like Carson City, and I've seen things in the paper before, and I've heard people say that. Carson City's identity, this is the capital. And I think it really enhances that and brings it kind of a sense of place for people in Carson City as you make that a nicer place down there. And the infill that we've talked about for years in the Planning Commission to get people back downtown, as Reno's been struggling with, and working on and solving some of those things and getting the businesses down there that draw the attention. I think this is a really great plan. So I hope that this can move forward. And I understand the conceptual part of this, and I know I saw a whole year of planning, which gives lots of time for discussion. And the elections are over, so you can have all the discussions after the elections. So that this can hopefully still move forward. So that's just a comment I'll make now instead of later. And thanks, John. I'm ready.
Okay. Jim asked me a question. If we don't approve this, does it delay the project at all?
I believe that we are, as Darren indicated, we're looking for your action, for your input to take to the board. I believe that, you know, regardless of your action or lack thereof, we will still bring that to the board for their information.
Open up the discussion to the public if anyone has anything, especially Muscle Power, about why aren't there any bike racks in the conceptual design?
That's for a later discussion. Donna Inverson, president of Muscle Powered. Yes, Muscle Powered met with Patrick and Lee, and they presented the design to us. Actually, Ann and I had gotten to see it even earlier at the first working group for the new bicycle and pedestrian safety work group. Anyway, in August, we did meet, and the board of directors did vote to Muscle Powered strongly supports the refreshed Carson City downtown corridor design, as we think it will make Carson City's downtown safer and more welcoming to bicyclists and pedestrians, leading to a lively, vibrant, and safe downtown core in Carson City. And, yeah, there's going to be a lot of discussion like bike racks. I can tell you as a bicyclist, my bike rack has traditionally become the handicap parking sign at most businesses because there's no bike racks. So anyway, that's really all I have to say at this point.
Anyone else? Okay. Curiosity more than the concern is projects that over the years since I've moved here have real estate projects have sometimes depended on whether they could find the utilities or not. Do we know where the utilities are under Carson Street?
We do.
It sounds facetious, but I don't know if people remember when City Public Works went out with paint can and identified where utilities were under streets, especially in the older neighborhoods, because they had no idea where those utilities were. So
we feel like we've got a pretty good feel on Carson Street, but that's not to be said that there's possibly old, very, very old utilities down there that are no longer, I mean, do you call them utility, but, you know, the chance of us coming across some abandoned pipes and various things are probably pretty good. But they're not part of our structure, so we're not too concerned about them.
Any other comments from anyone? I'll entertain a motion or an action, whatever you want to do.
Can I make a motion? I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors acceptance of the conceptual design of the refreshed Carson downtown plan along Carson Street between William and Fifth Streets to allow staff to continue to develop more detailed design elements of the plan.
It's been moved and seconded. Any comments, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is F2, information on changes to a pedestrian crossing at Carson Street and Spear Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At a meeting 2 months ago, I believe it was August, we did have a resident approach the RTC and express her concerns about a pedestrian crossing at the corner at the intersection of Carson Street and Spear Street. That's near the Nugget. It's a single crosswalk on the south side of the intersection. We have had other concerns expressed there. This individual actually was related to an individual that was the site of a very unfortunate accident. The original request was that we install some sort of flashing pedestrian-activated beacon like we have on Stewart Street or by the library. We looked into it. Our engineers, Darren and myself, looked into it as far as what our options were out there, as far as non-electrified signage, something akin to like we have at the library or on Stewart Street. But after looking into it further, the action that we're going to take is to remove the crosswalk at that location and actually to avoid having to, we're trying to minimize any throwaway costs there. We don't want to go out and do a lot of concrete work in advance of this coming downtown project. We would install bollards to prevent people, you know, with signage to prevent people from crossing at that point and direct them to crosswalks either to the north or south. Just to the north, there's a signalized intersection. The blocks are relatively short, so there are a lot of closely spaced crosswalks at that location, and we believe that would be the safest treatment at this time. And I will note that it hasn't been removed yet. We're actually going to retain the services of a contractor to remove not only the crosswalk there, but some other striping in the city. So we're going to do it at one time to, you know, to make it more effective instead of having a contractor come out. So we expect to do that in the near future. But we wanted to inform you that we were doing that. We've also talked to the resident who was actually here this evening. She, on her own volition, we informed her as well of what our intents were. So we wanted to make sure we brought it back to you as we promised we would.
And so this is for discussion?
Yes. Yeah, okay. We could have done it already, but like I said, we're tying it in with another project with a contractor, so that hasn't happened yet.
Go right ahead.
Patrick,
In the information, it says install barriers. Explain what kind of barriers are you talking about? Gates or
cattle? I believe what we're going to do is we're going to put several bollards on either side of the street, and then we're going to have something going across it to prevent people from walking there. It won't be an actual fence or a gate. It could be a chain or a crossbar, and then we will affix a sign directing people, not to cross there and to cross elsewhere.
Would you care to make any comments about it? Please come up. Yes. We're interested. You're the ones getting this done. So.
My name's Christine Allman, and my father was the one who was hit, and he was seriously hit. And the way I see it is any way to prevent another injury, this would be a very simple solution. Patrick and me have talked about it. I mean, flashing lights and everything would be great, but to remove a crosswalk, first of all, you have two traffic lights very close to where the crosswalk is, and I don't see why somebody just can't walk to the traffic light and cross the street instead of having to cross right in the middle of the road where they might be hit. I think that's pretty much sums it up. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad it's an easy solution.
Just a simple point from past experience in a major accident, chains don't work very well because some people don't see them.
Okay. So we'll take that into consideration. We haven't finalized our plans.
Yeah, we had a bad accident from a chain where a gate was, and they didn't see it with a bicycle doing about 30.
Yeah, and this would be, departing from the sidewalk, not alone.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. We'll take that under advisement.
Anyone else? You coming up, Lee, or? What do you think, Lee? Okay.
That item in, Patrick?
Yep.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is F3, possible action to determine that DNC Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsible bidder for a contract on nine-lane pedestrian improvements. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, as you indicated, this is an action to approve a contract to make pedestrian improvements on primarily on Nye Lane. There's a little bit on Northgate. A couple of key points is that last year we actually had other community development block grant funding that we tied with Federal Transit Administration funding. We were able to tackle the north side of Nye Lane between Northgate and Hot Springs, which is a wonderful thing, but it made the south side look even worse, as the north side is much nicer now. So we're happy to get back there to do the south side of Nye Lane. It did come in under the estimate, which we were very happy about. And I will just point out that this year's community development block grant / FTA funded projects include this one and another one on Long Street between Carson and Stewart Streets. In order to simplify this, move it along a little faster, we made this one entirely community development block grant funded, 100% funded, and the next one you see in a few months will be the mixture between the two funds. And I'll take any questions.
Patrick, a couple quick questions. In reading through the contract, it looks like it's a pretty much a standard contract, but I had two questions in regards to it. On page C6, item number 7, the Davis-Bacon-related acts. I'm just curious. In reading through that, I understand what that all involves. But my question is, how strictly is that enforced?
Extremely strictly. To where we struggle with taking these kind of funds because it requires so much effort to enforce the requirements.
The other thing is towards the end of the contract, it has the performance bond and labor and material payment bond. And, of course, you know, in our package, those are blank, but is there a standard performance bond, or is that a percentage based on the contract amount?
It's based on the contract amount.
Any public questions, comments, suggestions? Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to determine that BNC Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1415-065, Nylane Pedestrian Improvements, for a bid amount of $92,086.15 plus a contingency amount of $9,208 for a total not to exceed price of $101,294.15 to be funded from the grant fund capital projects construction account as provided in fiscal year 2014-2015 budget.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any public comment or other comment from the board? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is F4, possible action to approve proposed revisions to the snow removal map.
Thank you, sir. As indicated, we have a snow removal map here. Just for general knowledge, we have a map that is used by our snowplow operators when the need arises, that identifies which roads are primary routes, priority one routes, priority two routes. Those are primarily determined by, you know, what are our larger streets, arterials, and collectors. But we take a lot of other things into account as well, including the type of terrain, if we're serving a school, if it's a jack bus route. A lot of factors go into play. We used to, in recent years, we've had a lot of significant changes to this map because we had taken a lot of roads from the Nevada Department of Transportation. Last year, I believe we didn't make any changes, and the changes before you today are so limited that I can just tell you very briefly. The only two changes are that at the south end of town, where NDOT has recently completed phase 2B-2 of the freeway project, instead of having Silver Sage south of Snyder be a plow route, we have moved that over to Center because that's now the route that you get off of when you get on or off of that that new bridge at Snyder. And then the other changes we made were up on roads near Arrowhead on the north side of town in the industrial area there. There were several roads up there and actually a little bit residential to the west as well that we identified that were needing plowing to the point that in the past we've actually started plowing those. So we've added a few more green lines up on roads, you know, like Kelvin and Convair and Conestoga and Jefferson, those roads on the very north side of town there. Just to make sure our businesses get sufficient plowing there. And that's it.
This would be Jefferson and Conestoga off of Gonai?
Yes. Those are just examples of the area of town, just for anybody's interested. And also, like, over north of South Sutro, over on Bonanza, okay. all in that same area.
So even though we're as far as Imus in that area?
We didn't make any changes far to the west.
Okay, so they're just in the, like you said, in the industrial area?
Just
there.
That immediate area there.
Okay. Questions?
Patrick, is this snowplow map available to the general public?
Oh, yes, absolutely. This, as we are sharing with you today, this is available for anyone to see. And I can confirm that it's on our website, and I'll confirm that tomorrow morning if it's not, we'll put it there. And if anybody wants, they can contact us at Public Works, and we'll share this with whomever wishes.
So if you're not red or you're not blue, you don't get plowed? Is that, can I summarize that?
Mm-hmm. those are our primary plow routes. For the most part, we don't do any significant plowing outside of that. There are occasions that, you know, just in my, you know, 8-plus years here, where the snow has lasted long enough that we have gone beyond, but in normal circumstances, that is correct. There is not plowing there.
So hopefully nobody hacks your website so they can add a red street in there. No, that makes sense. I was curious how often you get pulled off the red or blues, but that's the plan.
It's been my experience, however, after a couple of days, after the major routes are taken care of, they're covering maybe not my cul-de-sac, but they're covering other streets in that area that aren't colored. So,
and Darren, you can add, we do additional work, but it certainly, you know, we deal with the storms as they come, and no two storms are exactly alike.
As long as the snow has stopped falling and we have cleared these routes, then yes, then we start working more into the neighborhoods to assist if the snow hasn't melted by that time. So that's correct.
If someone wanted their street considered, how would they go about having that happen?
They can contact us at Public Works, and we'd be happy to discuss the need, and we just, you know, we want people to realize that our resources are limited, and we do prioritize, you know, for a reason.
Okay. We need a motion, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I move to approve proposed revisions to the snow removal map.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any public comments? Any discussion by the board? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It carries. Next item on the agenda is the G items, street operations report, project status report, etc. And if you don't mind, since these are informational, I'm going to turn this over to the vice chair and move on to my next event. It's just a busy day.
Thank you, John.
So who is up on the street operations?
I don't know if there's anything really notable in G1 street operations, unless you have any questions. But if you're game, I'll move on to item G2.
Okay.
And note that the Hellsville Road sidewalk improvements are down to final items to be cleaned up out there in the field. Let's see, the East 5th Street pedestrian improvements, I can now report that is actually underway. We've got a contractor out there doing some saw cutting preliminary work, so that's good to know. Let's see, the William Street path improvements are still under design, as is the Western Nevada College sidewalk improvements, but we expect to move forward in winter with that those improvements at West College Parkway near WNC. The college is eager for us to move forward on that. As I alluded to previously, the Long Street sidewalk improvements, those are also under design. We expect to have those in spring out on the street. And Nye Lane, of course, we just awarded this evening. Slurry seal is also underway. They're not working this week because they had another job to get to this week, but they'll be back on Saturday, back to work. And that's about it.
Question, Patrick. On the Long Street,
mm-hmm.
That's going from Stewart to Carson.
That is correct.
And is that on both north and south sides, or just one side?
No, it's only going to be on one side, which is what funding allows.
Any questions?
Any future agenda items?
I can report that we have a whole slew of agreements pending with NDOT right now. We have several transportation alternative program agreements. We have a safety grant agreement to improve intersections at Robinson and Roop and Carson and Winnie pending as well. We have a draft of that and an amendment to an existing one. So we got about four of those in the hoppers besides anything else that comes out of the woodwork.
Was there, do I recall anything tonight being asked to be agendized for next meeting?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Anything from you, gentlemen?
Not from me.
Okay. Any other public comment? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Done. Campo will start at 4:50.